And to all God's people, I thank God for the house of prayer for this opportunity to stand. That you guys entrust me to stand behind this sacred desk and declare a word from the Lord. And there is a word from the Lord, but in my study time, I'm like, God, what are you trying to get me to say to these people? Yeah. Every time I have studied and got before the Lord, and I always go on the fast when I got to preach, this, the way God spoke to me was totally different. He gave me scriptures. I was writing down notes, and throughout my week, things that was transpiring, I was jotting down stuff, and I'm like, God, how am I going to put this together? But nevertheless, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. It's down to him that is able to do anything but fail. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. I ain't never preached from this text before. I learned this text by heart, this scripture, when I was going to TET Christian Academy. See, Deacon Watson was one of my teachers. And there we had, they taught us, but they taught us the word of God. We had to memorize the scripture. So God took me way back to this scripture.
Thank you, Lord.
My story just ended. And I am available to you. Oh, help me sing it. My story. My story. And I am available to you. Oh, come on. You gave me my hands to reach out to man, to show dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. This text is the history of creation. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, is also known as the first book of Moses. I want to ask you a question. What does it mean that humanity was made in the image of God? On the last day of creation, God said, let us make man in our image. You may be seated. Then he finished his work, the personal touch, and God formed Adam from the dust. And he shared his breath with Adam. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Accordingly, humanity is unique among all God creation, having both a material body and an immaterial body known as a soul or a spirit. Having the image of God, likeness of God, means that we are supposed to resemble God. Look at your neighbor and say, do you see God in me? Do you see God in my ways? Do you see God in my actions? Do you see God in my conduct? Or you just see God when I put on my suit and I come to church on Sunday, then I'm holy, but then Monday, when I take off my suit, I take off God and I put him in the closet. Is that the type of Christian you are? The Bible says that God is a spirit. The Gospel of St. John, 4th chapter, verse 24. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in. I'm standing behind this sacred desk, and you see my appearance, my image. But inside of me is the Spirit of God that's speaking unto you right now. Spirit is the opposite of what is material. Flesh is earthly. God is a spirit, therefore he exists without a body. However, Adam's body did mirror the life of God insofar as it was created in perfect health and it was not subject to death. Let's look at the definition of creation. To bring one into existence, to generate, to produce, to design, to build, to construct. Everything that was created or made was created for a purpose. But humanity is the only living being that was created in the image of God. Now that separates us from all of creation. Look at your neighbor and say, you're special. You're beautiful and wonderfully made. David said over in Psalms, what is it that God is mindful of me? God created life, created the firmament, divided the waters, the dry land, the grass, all by uttering words. But when he created man, the Bible says that he reached down, grabbed the clay, the mud, transforming the clay into something new. And he breathed life into man. Whether you're saved or unsaved, a wannabe saved, a Sunday morning saved, we all have the breath of life of God in us.
Thank you, Jesus.
This breath may be the narrator's way of describing the infusion of the Holy Spirit into man. What with its moral, intellect, rational, and spiritual capacities. God is the author of human essence. Yes. Nothing is created without a purpose. Tell your neighbor, you have a purpose. God did not only create man in his image, but he also programmed man. Adam had superior intelligence. Yes, yes, yes. Immediately upon his creation, he had fully developed the capability of speaking language. He was able to communicate with God. He named all the animals. In addition, he was able to remember all their names. But Adam was to be the ruler over God's creation. That was his position, his purpose. So God designed man, designed him, shaped him. So no matter how you look, you may want to be tall, short, maybe I got to be too much midsection. God made you wonderfully unique the way that he created you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So God designed man. God breathed into man nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. But let's look at what he did. He programmed human beings with mental ability, the power to learn and retain knowledge. Human beings can reason and choose. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day who you will serve. God created us, but he still gave us a choice. Serve me, either live for me, whatever. You know, growing up in your mother's house, your mother created you, your mother, your parent, you know, in her house, you didn't have free choice. You know, you had to make up the bed and clean the windows, take out the garbage. But God gave man free choice. Morally, humanity was programmed in righteousness and the perfect innocent as a reflection of God's holiness. 1 Peter tells us, chapter 1 and 16, be ye holy as I am holy. This is God's network system when he's putting this out of man. Socially, humanity was performed for fellowship with God. This reflects God's triune nature, his love. In Eden, humanity's primary responsibility was to be in relationship with God. God put his stamp, his branding on man. He was created in his image. There is a difference between when you was created and when you was made. You were made when your mother and father came together and biologically made you a body. But that's not what the Bible says about when you was created. The Bible says that before the foundation, somebody know that scripture, before the foundation of the earth, God had us in mind. Look at your neighbor and say, you was in the mind of God. He already had a name. He already had grace. He already had gifts. He already had talent. He already had success for you. You are a product of God. And the worst thing any company can do is let their product fail. I don't care what you're going through, what you face in life. It is not the will of God that you lose. It is not the will of God that you go through. Last week, I had some technical difficulties with my iPhone. It wouldn't give me the option to use FaceTime. I was working late, and normally when I work late, Skylar FaceTime me. So my wife called from the hospital, Skylar trying to FaceTime me. I went into my phone and it wasn't working. So I called Verizon and I spoke with a Verizon tech coach in regards to the issue. This young lady who I spoke with, she instructed me to go into my phone setting, go down and find reset all settings. Okay? I went to the phone, went to general, went down, found reset settings. She said, now I'm going to call you right back because when you select this, the phone's going to power off, then it's going to power back on. I did it. She called me back. She said, try to FaceTime somebody. So I tried to FaceTime somebody. I said, it's working now. So I hung up. So I FaceTime Skylar. The next day, I'm sitting at the table at home studying now. It's Friday. My phone texts. I answered the text, but the text notification stayed on the phone. Tapped it again, read the text, pulled it out. So I said, let me check this. The notification still remained. So I said, let me check this FaceTime thing again. So I checked FaceTime again, and it's not working. So now I'm getting upset now. Sitting at the table, Bible open. I completed the reset all settings. So this is like, I got Verizon back on the phone. Then I got a young lady. How's your day going? Not so good. Maybe we can make your day better. I said, you fix this call, maybe you can.
That's right.
So I told her, I said, I completed the reset all settings process. I followed the directions that were given to me. She said, but you still have a problem? I said, yeah. She said, the reset settings process is only to fix a glitch of a technical difference. But, she said, you have to go back to setting, and you have to go to factory reset. Okay, we're going to do that, but can I ask you a question? Why did not this guy have me do this last night?
You have to reset setting.
On the following day, I have the same call. This is on October 11th. She's praying, this guy's crazy on his phone. But she tells me, a factory reset is also known as a master reset. Mm-hmm. It is a software restore of an electronic device to its original state by erasing all information, data, settings, application, and restoring it back to its original manufactured setting. And right then, the Holy Spirit said, when you stand before my people, tell them that it's time for a spiritual reset. A spiritual reset. I know, Shaka. Lift your hand. Repeat after me. God, reset me. And restore me. Back to my original setting. Hallelujah. Oh my God. It's some things that's going on in our bodies that's not supposed to be there. God did not create us to be sick. God did not create us to be poor. Set back to my original setting. Part of being made in God's image is that Adam had the capacity, the capability to make free choice. Although he was given a righteous nature, Adam and Eve made an evil choice, rebelling against God, their creator. In so doing that, it limits the image of God in their life, which was passed down to us. They passed down this damaged likeness onto all their descendants. You can find that in Romans 5 and 12. Today we still bear the image of God according to James 3 and 9. But we also bear the scars of sin. Mentally, morally, socially, physically, we show the effects of sin. But the power of God is still in us working. My first point is going to be an illustration. I'm in a cup of coffee or a bowl of soup. It's hot. What do? To cool it off. Our breath cools down. Let's go outside now. And it's cold outside. And your hands are freezing. The same breath that you use to cool down something is the same breath that you use to warm up something. I know. Look at your neighbor and say, know what's inside of you. Know what was programmed inside of you. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do anything but fail, according to the power that worketh in you. You have the power to change your situation. You have the power to change your life. You have the power to speak life over death. Know what's inside of you. We have power within us. Adam and Eve got us into some trouble.
You ever got somebody in trouble before?
I know I got a lot of people in trouble growing up. Adam and Eve got us into some trouble. But David tells us over in Psalm, the 46th chapter, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The reality is that things will happen in life. We will go through trials and tribulations in life. But the good thing is to know that God is a very present help in time of trouble. That word present is a compound word. Pastor Keon said that God pre-sends himself, meaning that when you find yourself in trouble, God has already pre-sent himself. He's already there.
heal you, to deliver you, to set you free, to bring you out, to build you up, to restore you. He presends himself. Look at your neighbor and say, God is right there.
God is right there.
I became a little upset about this issue I was having with my phone.
I'm like, you know, I'm getting rid of these people here. I don't want to deal with Verizon no more.
Uh-huh.
I don't want no more iPhone.
Uh-huh.
I'm about the Galaxy. This is what I'm saying. You know how we live in the natural, because nobody's in the spirit walking all day long.
That's right.
So I'm getting upset. I'm getting annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm setting the table, and the Holy Spirit speak to me to shut your mouth. Shut up. My wife still told me. I said, babe, give me 1 second, please. Yeah, she's still going up. Yeah, I've been with me in my city. It don't take much to get somebody to get on the bandwagon. I said, don't call the Rosin yet. But the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and say, the same way your phone is acting dysfunctional, so is the body of Christ. Dysfunctional.
Jesus.
They have a form of godliness, but denying the power. Dysfunctional.
Jesus.
Preaching and cheating. Preaching and lying.
Jesus.
Preaching and drinking. Preaching and gambling. Preaching and hooking. Y'all like this kind of preaching, right? Singing in the choir. But on the club floor on Saturday nights, shaking a tail feather. A form of godliness. Homosexual was in the church. Directing the choir. Playing the instruments. Dysfunctional.
Jesus.
How do I know? He would not have created Eve for Adam if a man was supposed to be with the man. The Bible declares that that's an abomination.
Jesus.
If he wanted man to shake a tail feather, in the book of Genesis, the creations, he would have created a man. He would have had cocaine there. But he said, be holy. Be holy. I said, I hear you, God. I like this message now.
Jesus.
Dysfunctional. Ungodly. Unholy. Disobedient. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. Operating in flesh and not in the spirit. People of God, there's something inside of us that need to be restored. People are praying for deliverance. People are praying for healing. People's children are messed up. People's marriages are failing. But the church is not in a position to help them. Because nobody want to live right.
Jesus.
Nobody don't want to call out sin.
Jesus.
People in the church shocked, and you know they not mad. Don't hurt their feelings. The devil is a liar. I've got my feelings hurt.
Jesus.
You gotta live right.
Jesus.
If he love you, let him put a ring on it. If you work on a job and you attempt, you don't get no benefits. But if you're a full-time employee, you get benefits. Tell your neighbor, shut it down. Fire that joker. Let him go. I probably won't preach no more, but it's fine with me.
Jesus.
But while I'm up in here, I'm going to say what thus said the Lord.
Jesus.
I said, yeah. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, deliverance is not what they need. They need to come out. My wife have an app on her phone. She does a lot of online shopping. She called me one day and said, go outside. I should have a package there. I'm like, go outside, huh? How did the girl step with you? I said, how do you know a package outside? She said, because on my phone, the application said that the package was delivered. Deliverance have already came. You just need to come out. You just need to come out. The Bible said, come out from among them and be separated. Look at your neighbor and say, come on out. Come on out. If the homosexual can come out of the closet, you can come out the closet and be delivered and be set free. I'm still talking about a reset. Dysfunctional. God want to bless us. God wants to heal us, but dysfunctional. I never see a bunch of people that get dressed Sunday after Sunday, come to church, shout, sing, have a little money, and go back out and do what they want to do. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm not going to hell from God's house. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm not going from God's house. You put yourself in a bad position. Playing with God. People know you ain't living right. People know you ain't drinking, partner. That's why the people out there in the world won't come to church, because the one that's in the church ain't right. So I'm gonna let them go to church, sing their hymn, do their dance, then we'll meet up at the club. The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is. Jesus.
God said that it's time for a spiritual, not a reset of all sins, but a master reset that will bring the body of Christ back into our original settings. We call it wrong, right? I don't care if it's my son or my daughter. You got to live holy. I will not compromise for my wife, and I love her. But if she start acting crazy and don't want to serve the God that I serve, I'm going to take off this ring, and I'm going on with the Lord. Because one of these days, all this is going to come to an end. And I want to hear my God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The reset setting is already available. There was a man who took this position.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. 2,000 years ago.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. He took this position.
Yes, Jesus.
So that we could be free.
Yes.
He stretched out his arms on the cross.
Yes,
so everything that your family had tied to you could be cut off. You could be released. This is the year that the Holy Spirit is coming in to reset you, to release you from all the chains, from all the pain, from everything that's not like God. Lift your hands and say, God, reset me. Restore me. I'm closing with Acts 3:19. This is the Amplified version of Acts 3:19. It says, so repent. Change your inner self. Your old ways of thinking, regrets, and past sins. And return to God. Seek his purpose for your life so that your sins may be wiped out, blotted out, completely erased. So that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God wants to restore his image back in our life. When I restored my phone, I did the factory reset. My phone came back to the original settings. No glitches, no defects, but functioning properly. That's what God wants to do in the body of Christ. He wants to reset his house. So that means that we can't do it man's way. The Bible said there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the ways of destruction. We have to do it God's way. That's the only way that we will be successful. That's the only way that we will reach our destiny, is if we do it God's way. I'ma close. Adam messed it up for every one of us. It took an Adam to mess it up, and it took an Adam to fix it.
Yes, sir.
Jesus represents to us the last Adam.
Yes, sir.
Some people say second, but if you say second, there may be a third. But Jesus was the last Adam. Oh my. And all the damage that Adam put us in, all the trouble. He ruined the relationship with God, the image of God in our life. But from the cross to the grave, our debts he paid. We were set free because of the Son of Jesus. God wants to restore you today. God wants to heal you today. God wants to deliver you on this day.
My God. My God. Thank you.
I've read the text over and over. Over and over. It said nothing about sickness. Nothing about pain. God did not create us to go through the things that we're going through right now. He said, I come that you might have life, that you may have it more abundantly. Let's put off the old man and put on a new man. I don't care how good of a fragrance you wear, how expensive it is. God said that sin stinks in my nostrils. He's calling us back to true holiness. You know, they should say, those people over there don't believe in holiness. They don't believe in righteousness. But I read a scripture and it says that nothing but the righteous shall see God. Nothing but the righteous shall see God. Today God said, tell my people, I want to complete a spiritual reset in their lives and the body of Christ. God bless you.